Welcome to Her Art Podcast, a project for art lovers, especially art created by women. In our 9th episode, we will talk about Tarsila do Amaral, one of the leading Latin American modernist artists. My name is Nata Andreev, and I'm going to tell you 7 curious facts that you didn't know about the artist that led Brazilian art into modernism. In her home country, she's a household name, leaving behind 230 paintings, 5 sculptures, and hundreds of drawings, prints, and murals. Curious fact number 1. Tarsila do Amaral was born at the end of the 19th century in the town of Capivari, 3 years before the transformation of Brazil from a monarchy to a republic, and 2 years before the abolition of slavery in her homeland. She came from a well-off family, owners of coffee plantations in the rich state of São Paulo. Her family owned 22 haciendas and around 400 slaves. Her grandfather had a nickname, Milionario. Curious fact number 2. In the 1920s, artists across Brazil began exploring modernism as a means to escape the strict academic system promoted by Brazil's Imperial Academy of Fine Arts, which had dominated national artistic production since the early 19th century. Artists such as Tarsila had traveled to Europe and made contact with different avant-garde movements that were already well underway there, such as Cubism or Fauvism and German Expressionism. After all, they were convening in large urban centers such as São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, Belo Horizonte, and Recife. They developed new modernist movements that significantly altered the landscape of Brazilian art. Curious fact number 3. After she came back from France, Tarsila joined the Grupo dos Cinco, Group of 5, invited by her friend, also a painter, Anita Malfatti. This art collective was responsible for the most recognized and influential art pieces, which created a modern national culture. There was neither Tupi nor European nor Luso-African, but rather a Brazilian hybrid that emerged from the local circumstances. Natural, traditional, industrial, bourgeois, racist, and socialist. They stirred up the city of São Paulo culturally with meetings, parties, and conferences. The group overall was founded by Anita Malfatti, Mario de Andrade, Paolo Menotti del Picchia, Oswald de Andrade, and Tarsila. She commented on the group once, "We seemed crazy, racing around in the Cadillac of Oswald with delirious joy to conquer the world, to renew it." The power couple that she formed with the writer Oswald de Andrade was named by his brother, Tarsivald. Hey, please don't forget that every day of the month you can participate in our giveaway. Post an artwork created by a female artist, tag her art on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll reward you with wall art and feminist stickers. Don't worry if you live abroad, I will mail everything to you. So, who's your favorite artist? Let's transform social media in our own most diverse and representative gallery. Curious fact number 4. In January of 1928, Tarsila presented A Vaporo as a birthday gift to her husband, the prominent modernism writer Oswald de Andrade. By their own accounts, de Andrade was fascinated by the painting and proclaimed that he would create a movement around it. Using a dictionary of indigenous Brazilian languages, Tarsila and de Andrade named the painting A Vaporo, a combination of words that can be roughly translated as Man Who Eats. Abaporo, which is today in the collection of Museum of Latin American Art in Buenos Aires, has become an icon of 20th century Brazilian art. This is both because the painting employs unique visual strategies, a bright palette, exaggerated forms, and collapsed perspective, and because it inspired the writing of one of the most important documents in the history of Brazilian art, De Andrade's Manifesto Antropofago, Cannibalist Manifesto, written in 1928. The Cannibalist Manifesto presented a strategy for producing artworks that were both culturally authentic to Brazil and engaged with the broader international narratives of modernity. Curious fact number 5. Tarsila was hugely influenced by Cubism and, to some extent, by Surrealism. This European stylistic influences were organic. When in France, she hung out with her masters, Fernand Léger, Pablo Picasso, Constantin Brancusi, Jean Cocteau, and Eric Satie. Tarsila had a couple of solo exhibitions in Paris, which only proved her status in this men's world. She was a caipirinha, a girl from São Paulo, conquering the social and artistic circles of Paris. This is how Alisa Gluschek described this experience in an article for Daily Art magazine. She used the perfumes of Jean Patou, and she dressed at the most en vogue fashion house of that time. She leveraged her exotism for self-promotion, and she recognized that the Europeans craved for something new, fresh, different, and natural. To some extent, she played this card to raise her attractiveness, but on the other hand, she performed the racist and caricatured ideas that many Europeans had of Brazil. Curious fact number 6. At the age of 43 years old, Tarsila had her first solo exhibition in Brazil, with two shows organized in Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo. They received mixed reviews, since most of the public and art critics did not yet understand modern art, and the political atmosphere favored traditional artists. A year later, her works were shown in group exhibition in Paris and New York, where her style and attitude towards Brasilidade, Brazilness, received a better reception and a better recognition. Although she remained artistically active up to the 60s, the roaring 20s were the period when she was the most active and prolific as a painter and graphic designer. Curious fact number 7. Tarsila, who died at the age of 87, is today an iconic figure in Brazil. Her works are seen everywhere, in contemporary design, public art, and marketing outlets. What is often omitted in this popularization of her art is that she was a complex woman, a brave artist, and a tribalizing creator of modern Brazilian identity and aesthetics. Thank you so much for listening to the 9th episode of Her Art Podcast, a project for art lovers, especially art created by women. If you want to follow more of what we do, find us on Facebook and Instagram. Tune in next month when I'm going to tell you about Zaha Hadid, the first woman to receive Pritzker Architecture Prize. See you later.